I discovered this in life. You want to grow the most? You want to become the person God wants you to be? You want to grow? Here's what you need to do. Be the smallest person in the room. The smallest person in the room is the person that grows the most, not the greatest person in the room. The person who comes into the room and tries to glean from everyone else in the room is the person who walks out with the most. The person who comes into the room to try to tell you what they know is the person who walks away with the least. Church, I want you to succeed. I want you to succeed. And to succeed in this world, you have to be full of hope. It's the same thing that God wants for your life. But you know the big difference between someone who fails in this world and someone who succeeds in this world? You know the big difference? Because there's a number of things. There's a number of little things that set the difference maker between a person that succeeds or a person that fails in this world. And one of those things that helps a person to succeed, meaning they're full of hope and they're accomplishing what God wants for their life, one of those things is having the right equipment. Okay? Come on, say that with me. Right equipment. You got to have the right equipment. Well, let me give you a couple examples of that. All right? Here's one. You would never try to fly over the ocean, the Atlantic or the Pacific, in a hand glider. It's the wrong equipment. Right? Are you following me on that? Like, it's the wrong equipment. Let me give you another one. Like, you wouldn't try to fight a forest fire with a squirt gun. Wrong equipment. Right? You wouldn't try to play in the NHL, which is the best sports league of them all. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's right. Thank you. The NHL, by the way. If you wouldn't try to play there without a stick, you're not going to go very far. You wouldn't try to play professional baseball. You wouldn't try to get up there in the batter's box without a bat. You wouldn't play in the NFL. You just wouldn't. I mean, that's the way it goes. No, you wouldn't do it without a helmet. Right? You see what I'm saying? Like, you need the right equipment. You got the right equipment, now you can succeed. If you don't have the right equipment, you're going to fail. And God wants you to succeed. So therefore, God says this to you and me. He goes, I'm going to give you the right equipment. But the problem is that we tend to overlook the right equipment. One of the greatest pieces of equipment God gave you is sitting next to you right now. It's called relationships and significant relationships. God put significant relationships in your life to help you be full of hope. Take a look at what Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10 says. It says that two people are better off than one, for they can help each other what?
Succeed.
Right. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help, but someone who falls alone is in real trouble. I love the fact that it says, look, let me tell you why two people are better off than one. And that's because when two people are together and they're actually helping each other, they succeed. They accomplish more than they ever thought they could accomplish, right? They get farther than they ever thought they could get. Why? Because they're full of hope. They're full of hope. But man, sad is the person who has no one, because when they fall and they got no one to pick them up, then guess what they don't have? They don't have hope. But how many guys are thankful that you have people in your life that they watched you fall? Like, they listen to this. Watch this. They watched you fall. They watched you in your worst. I got people who have seen my worst. You want to know what gives me hope? They didn't abandon me. We live in a world that eats their own. Meaning this, that if you fall and stumble and show your faults around the wrong people, guess what they do? They stab you in your back. So here's what we need. We need the right people around us, because we're not perfect people. We got faults. We're going to fall. We're going to stumble. We're not going to get it right all the time. Okay, and we need the right people in our lives so that when we do fall, we got somebody to pick us back up. That's hope, my friends. So here's what I want to do for you today. I want to tell you that I think that God has established five different types of people that you need to have in your life. And these same five different types of people God wants you to be in someone else's life. So as we go through this message today, I want you to be looking at it. And every topic or every kind of person we talk about, I want you to be thinking, like, who is that person in my life? So if you're taking notes and we talk about the first one, I want you to write down the name of the person, okay? But the other thing I want you to do as we go through this message today is, as we talk about a type of friend that we need to be to one another, I want you to say, I am this kind of friend to this person. So I want you to write down two names. One, who is this person being to you? Like, Jeff is this to me, and then I am that to this person. That's what I want you to do. The first kind of person God wants you to be, or the first kind of person that you need in your life if you're going to succeed, is you need a vision caster. Vision casters are the kind of people who dream bigger than you. They think bigger than you. They've accomplished more than you have accomplished, and maybe they've accomplished more than you're ever going to accomplish, but they're vision casters. I have these kind of people in my life. I'm going to tell you about two of these people in my life. One of the names is Rob. I'll leave out last names, but one of the names is Rob. The other name is Chris. Both of these guys lead larger churches than me, much larger churches than me, but they're vision casters for me, right? Because they help me see down the road. They help me see farther than I could see alone. They help me strategize at greater and deeper levels than I could ever do by myself. They become real important people in my life. In fact, did you realize that when you got the right vision casters in your life that you actually time travel? You're like, hold on, man, I came to church. I didn't go to a sci-fi movie. Now, I think it's a form of time travel without the time machine. Okay, let me help you see what I'm talking about. When I'm talking to my vision casting friends, here's the truth. They're farther down the road than I am. They're living at a place that I'm wanting to go, wanting to be at. Okay, they're ministering, you know, at greater levels of impact than I want to be, but I want to be there. So they are living in my future. They're living in my future. And so when I go and I talk to these right kind of people that are in my life, and I let them kind of speak into my life and speak into the ministry and speak into different aspects of the way I dream or strategize, it's like time travel. It's like looking into the future, because I'm going, sooner or later, God willing, that's where I'm going to go. That's where I'm going. I'm not trying to be just like them, but I am trying to apply some of the principles and some of the things they have in their life. We all need these people in our lives. We need people that are farther down the road than us. But guys, I'm just going to tell you right now, that's very difficult to have these kind of people in our lives. It's a challenge to have these kind of people in our lives, because you kind of almost need to let them be a coach to you. And we don't like people telling us what to do. But we all need coaches. I've hired coaches in my life. I've hired coaches as a pastor. I'm not talking about as an athlete, but as a pastor. Coaches that will help me strategize and break through things where I'm stuck. We all get stuck. We all need vision casters. We all need coaches in our lives. And what I've discovered is that I am that to others. I'm the main vision caster of our church. I'm the main vision caster of our team. And you know, last few years, man, I've been able to be the main vision caster for a number of pastors all across the United States, and it's an honor. Here's a warning. This is what I've discovered about being around people with big vision, being around people that can see farther than you can see. Okay, here's a big warning. The big warning is this. You got to be careful. You got to be careful, because it's really kind of, it's seductive. Like, it sucks you in. It pulls you in. You're kind of, all of a sudden, their words start becoming God's words. And you need to be careful. Like, you need to know that the greatest vision caster in your life is not another human being on this earth. The greatest vision caster you have is the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life. And God will use other voices. He'll speak through other people. But what happens is that we get too dependent on what other people think. There's some of you, you got certain people, you won't make any decisions unless you call them. And then whatever they say, you do. Warning, you're in a bad place. Like, that's a place that's going to bring destruction to your life. Here's what God says about it in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 16. It says, this is what the Lord of heaven's army says to his people. Man, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are his people. He says this, don't listen to these prophets when they prophesy to you, filling you with what kind of hope? Futile hope, right? They're making up everything they say. They're not speaking for me. I love that. I love how God says that. Here's the warning to you. The warning is, if you get the wrong people vision casting into your life, it's going to feel good, but it's going to be futile. You're going to have hope for a moment, but you won't be able to sustain it. What are you looking for in a vision caster? You're looking for someone who is dedicated to the Lord, loves the Lord. Here's what you're looking for as well. You're looking for somebody that feels the conviction of the Holy Spirit in their life. You're looking for someone who wants to speak into your life from God's perspective, not from a human manipulative perspective. You're looking for the character and the qualities of Jesus in their life before you ever care what they have done. There's a lot of people with a lot of great ideas, and they're doing a lot of amazing things, but they're not speaking for God. They're speaking for themselves. And if you follow them, you'll be left with futile hope. That's not what I want for your life. So choose wisely, my friends. Come on, turn to three people and tell them, choose wisely. You got to choose wisely. Let me tell you another one. You need a soul sharpener in your life. Soul sharpener, okay? Soul sharpeners are people that care about your spiritual growth more than they care about anything else in your life. And when you're around a soul sharpener, this kind of a person is always calling out the Jesus in you. This kind of a person is always leaving you better than they found you. And they're challenging you, just like Proverbs 27:17 says. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Every time you're around them, you're thinking more like Jesus. You're loving more like Jesus. And the God's word is coming alive to you more and more when you're around them. I got a soul sharpener. Let me tell you about my soul sharpener. He attends this church, former pastor of this church. Pastor Bob Wine is a soul sharpener in my life. Every time I'm around him, I can guarantee you that man's going to ask me some questions. Here's what it's going to start with. Jeff, what's God's word been saying to you lately? That's a soul sharpening question. And here's what I found about my soul sharpener, Pastor Bob Wine, is that you better have a real answer. Or he'll see through your smoke, and he'll call you out. He'll call you out. He'll also say things like this, like, hey, what's God really been speaking to you lately? I love that question. I love that. And he'll also do this. Hey, look, this is what God's been dealing with in my life. What do you think about it? It's a trick question, but I fall for it every time. You need a soul sharpener. You need somebody who's willing to come along, and they're going to make you better. They're going to get around you. They're going to help you become all God wants you to be. And what I've discovered is this. You got to have a lot of humility to have soul sharpeners in your life, because you want to push back on what they say. You want to go, I know that's good, but this is what I think. I know that's what you think, but this is what I think. Like, you want to do that. But the best approach is just to be a person of humility and go, hey, I want to soak this in, and I'm going to pray about this, and I'm going to, you see what I'm saying? Like, that's where you need to be. This is what I discovered. I discovered this in life. You want to grow the most? I mean, literally, you want to become the person God wants you to be? You want to grow in an exponential factor? You want to grow? Here's what you need to do. Be the smallest person in the room. The smallest person in the room is the person that grows the most, not the greatest person in the room. The person who comes into the room and tries to glean from everyone else in the room is the person who walks out with the most. The person who comes into the room to try to tell you what they know is the person who walks away with the least. I mean, I remember as a youth pastor in Alaska, I just got started in youth ministry, and I got to hang out with some dynamic leaders. Because here's what happens in Alaska. Dynamic leaders in the lower 48, they get invited to come speak in an event in Alaska. They always take it. Who wouldn't want to take it? In fact, right now, if you got a free trip to Alaska right now, how many of you guys would take it? All right? There you go. You would take it, and so do they. So I got to hang out with all of these great leaders at the evenings, like after the events, when you're just sitting around in the living room or you're sitting at a restaurant, you're just talking Jesus stuff. I mean, I got like all kinds of great ideas and things that were happening, but I was the smallest one in the room, and I was the one sitting at the table going, I don't even have anything to engage in this conversation. Like, don't call on me. I'm not even sure I know what we're talking about, but I like it, right? And then as I watched that, as I became the smallest guy in the room, all of a sudden I recognized there were moments where now I was the biggest guy in the room. I didn't try to become the biggest guy in the room. It's just that I was content at being the smallest guy in the room. And when you're humble like that, it's amazing what soul sharpeners can do inside of your heart. And they can shape you into the man or the woman God wants you to be. Who's a soul sharpener for you? Right? And whose soul are you sharpening? Let me tell you another one that you need. Everybody needs to have mentors and or models in your life. These are peers. People that are at the same basic stage of life, same basic place in life, carrying the same basic weight of life, right? These are kind of people that are peers with you in one fashion or another. And I have a number of these peers in my life. One of the ways I lead New Life Church is by getting around my peers. Two, maybe three times a year, I'm with peers. And we're there talking, and we're sharing notes with each other. Can I just pull back the veil for a second and give you an example of what I'm talking about? So earlier this year, I was with some of my peers, and I was talking with them, and we were kind of sharing some notes, and I said, guys, I'm just going to throw a question out there for you. Was last year a difficult financial year at your church? Meaning, was giving softer last year than it has been? Because I'm going to be quite honest with you guys as a church, last year was a softer financial year at New Life, softer than we wanted it to be. And so I was kind of like looking at myself and kind of holding a mirror up to myself and going, okay, well, what am I doing? What am I doing wrong, right? As a leader, I was, you know, kind of like evaluating myself and going, where am I missing it? Have I missed it someplace? Am I not teaching correct? Am I not leading correct? Like, where am I missing it? And then when I'm with my peers, here's what I discovered. Of these guys, one was in Oregon, one was in Virginia, one was in Minneapolis, and the other guy was down in San Antonio, Texas. And every single one of them said, nope, that's the same thing happening at our church. And then when I heard the difference of what their budget was and what their giving was, and I looked at what our budget was and what our giving was, I was like, okay, I'm not screwed up, right? Oh, I might still be screwed up, but I'm not screwed up that way, right? And I kind of looked at myself and I was like, okay. So when I got around peers, all of a sudden, I was able to see something that I couldn't see. I had some blind spots, but peers, mentors, and models, they helped me see something, and it gave me hope, guys. It gave me hope. The Apostle Paul basically drives this point home, and he says, look, for your entire life, no matter how young you are to how old you are, you need mentors and models in your life. Here's what he says to young Christians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, he says, and you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. I'll be a mentor and a model for you. Watch what I do and do it. Walk in my footsteps. But then he turns around and he says this to the mature Christians in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. He says this to him, hey, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. It never ends. It doesn't matter whether you're in your 20s and you're going to school or you're in your 80s and you're in retirement. All of us still need mentors and models, and God puts these kind of people into our life to give us hope. Here's a secret that I discovered, though, about mentors and models. You need probably 2 to 3 mentors and models in your life. You don't want one, because then you're just trying to like mimic them and be like them. You don't want 12, because that's way too many to even try to comprehend. I found that 2 to 3 is the perfect blend. And then you kind of look at them and you compare notes, but you just got to realize that what you're eventually trying to do is this. You're trying to be yourself. You use them to find you. Don't try to become a peer. Don't try to become their mentor. Don't try to become just like the mentor. Don't try to become just like the model. You use those things and say, God, how do you want to shape me? Because in the end, you are an original. You're one of 8 billion people on this earth, and there's no one else like you. And if you're married to one of them, can you say thank God for that? You see what I'm saying? Like, we're unique. There's no one else like us. God wants you to be you, but he has these other people in your life to help you find that. So that's the third kind of person. Let me give you the fourth one. You're looking for a heart healer. Why are you looking for heart healers in your life? Because you live in a difficult world. You live in a challenging world. You live in a world that has a lot of hope-sucking leeches in it. That's right. You live in a world where there's a lot of things trying to suck hope out of you. You go through difficult times. You go through challenging times. You walk through pain. You walk through suffering. And we need people in our lives to help us when we are dealing with our worst. But here's what we tend to do. We tend to go to the worst person possible. We go to the person that's going to make us feel good about our pain. You call up your friend who lives in Florida, by the way, and you say to your friend in Florida, can you believe what's happening to me here in Nebraska? Can you believe that person treated me that way? Can you believe my boss did this? Can you believe my neighbor did this? Can you believe my friend did this? And what is your friend in Florida always going to do? I can't believe they would do that. It's impossible they would do that. I know you better than anybody. We haven't seen each other for 2 years. There's no way someone should treat you that way. Worst person possible to call. You need to call somebody that's a true heart healer. A heart healer has your best interests in mind, but they love you enough to tell you the truth. They love you enough to tell you things you don't want to hear that will keep you from digging that ditch deeper and deeper and deeper. You need those kind of people in your lives. And they actually kind of, in a way, become a counselor. And I believe in counseling. I think that there's pastoral counseling. I think there's peer-to-peer counseling. I think there's professional counseling. And if you need a true heart healer and you don't have one in your life, you need somebody that's going to evaluate your life with you and tell you the truth, then maybe what you need to do is you need to search out one of our counselors at New Life City Care Counseling. If you haven't heard, we launched a professional counseling arm of our church. We have professional counselors. They are professionals, which means they have a fee associated with their service. Okay, this is not just a ministry of the church funded by your tithe, right? This is a separate thing. We started a whole counseling center, okay? And we know there's a lot of great counselors in our town, so we're not trying to say we're better. All I'm trying to say is this. We have them, and you should search them out. You use a full-time counselor, and they'll be a great heart healer for you. You find a godly, Christ-centered counselor, they can be a heart healer for you. Amen? I believe it. Let me give you the last one. This is the last kind of friend you need to have in your life. You need a tail kicker. That's my Sunday morning version of that tail kicker. You need a tail kicker. Tail kickers aren't your enemies, but they aren't your closest friends. Okay? Tail kickers, they love you, but you're not probably going to get a birthday gift from them. Proverbs 27:6 says this, that wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. Guys, God uses tail kickers in our life because God wants us to be the very best version that he created us to be. And so he needs to adjust us from time to time, and we need those people in our lives. Tail kickers have this very unique ability to live inside of your conscience. Follow me on this. They don't even have to be in the room. They don't have to be at the business table. They don't have to be, you know, in that marriage, argument. They don't have to be there, but they live up here. You know them. You've heard their voice. And when it comes time to make a difficult decision, it's amazing how tail kicker voices all of a sudden kick in. And they tell you, like, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't go that direction. I wouldn't make that decision. That's not going to be in your best interest. If you do that, I'm going to be very disappointed. They just have that ability to live there. And then when you actually get to do life with tail kickers, like you're with them, here's what they tend to do. They tend to hold you accountable to a higher level of Christ-centered living. And we all need those people in our lives. Even the greatest athletes have got some of the hardest tail-kicking coaches. That's what makes them so good. They're so good because someone sees something in them they can't see in themselves, and they keep calling it out and calling it out and calling them out and telling them, no, run harder. You can run harder. Hit harder. You can hit harder. You know, slap shot that thing. Come on. Stop babying that puck. Knock that guy's teeth out. Just messing around. But you're not going to hear that at any other church in America this morning. I dare you, watch them all online. You're not going to hear that line. Everybody needs somebody to push us harder and farther than we will ever do on our own. Sometimes, to become the man or the woman that God wants you to be, you got to have the right friends around you. So let me end with this. 15-year-old boy in high school finds out he has cancer. Devastating. Mom and dad are devastated. He goes to the doctor. The doctor does all the tests. The doctor discovers that this kind of cancer we can cure, but it's going to take a few weeks. We're going to have to do a surgery, all right? And you're going to have to go on chemo. And you know what's going to happen, son, when you go on chemo, you're going to lose all your hair. And so for weeks, he's out of school, and he's going through the surgery, and he's going through the recovery, and he's going through chemo, and he goes back to the doctor for the final checkup. The final checkup. Everybody's concerned. They're wondering, right, what's the doc going to tell us? Is it going to be a positive report, a negative report? Am I going to live? Are they going to tell me, hey, look, you got a few more months or years with your son, and then he's going to die? Like, there's nothing, what's going to happen? And the doctor comes in and he gives a good report. And the mom starts crying. And the boy is there and he's just kind of like, okay, well, this is good, you know, because he's a 15-year-old boy. They get in the car and mom's just like, praise God. Look how good God is. This is amazing. You're healed, son. Like, you're going to live. It's going to be good. And you can tell that 15-year-old boy is slightly dejected because all he can think about is what's going to happen tomorrow when I walk into school with my bald head. I'm going to get made fun of. People are going to say things to me. It's not going to be good. The peer pressure at school is off the charts. And all the ride home, mom's trying to encourage him. Mom's trying to speak life into him. Mom's trying to be everything but the tail kicker. Going to be the soul searcher. Going to be the heart healer. Going to be the vision caster. It's going to be okay. It's going to be awesome. Trying to be the mentor model. Like, I remember when I was 15 years old. Like, it's all going to work out. And all the way home, he's just more and more dejected. He gets home and he kind of does the 15-year-old kind of mope shuffle to the front door. You got the look, right? Opens up the door, walks inside, and then this is what happens. Surprise! 50 to 70 of his friends are all there from school, and all of the boys that are there have shaved their head. And all of the guards come down. Hope rises in his heart, and he goes, I can face tomorrow. I can do it. Why? Because I got the right friends in my corner. Guys, you can do almost anything if you got the right friends in your corner. God put them there as the right equipment to help you succeed, to be full of hope. That's what God did. He uses each of us for one another. You're not just here in this room just to hear God's voice. You're here in this room to also hear one another's voices. That when we worship in just a moment, we inspire each other by the way we worship. That when you go after God, you're inspiring someone else to go after God. When you speak a kind word to someone, man, you're encouraging them like you've never thought possible. Yesterday I was on the plane. I was flying back from being down in Florida at some meetings. And I had a little thank you card that United Airlines had given me. And I only got like 5 of them. And it was supposed to be given away to one of the stewards that's done an incredible job. And I haven't given any away this year. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit reminded me, like, you give one to that young girl. And I said, okay. So I pull it out. I fill it out. You got to put the flight number on it. You got to put your name on it. You got to write a nice little note. You got to figure out her name. And I didn't even know her name at this moment. And I got these dumb glasses on that I couldn't see, and I'm trying to look, and her name tag's right here, and that's awkward, and I'm doing one of these things because she's close to me, and I'm trying to get it into focus, and I thought I got her name, and I got it right, and I put her name down on it, and then she came back by again, and she's like, do you need anything else? I go, I don't need anything else, but ma'am, this is for you today. And she looked at this card that United Airlines made that she obviously is going to get something from me doing this, and tears fill her eyes from a little thank you card. I've never been hugged by a stewardess. She reaches down, she hugs me. And I'm like, hopefully, I'm a hugger, because if I'm not, like, you just invaded my space. And when I walked off that plane, she had made a custom thank you card. Big bubble letters. You have no idea how your words just made my day. Thank you, Sam. So you guys, you have no idea how your life is meant to inspire someone else. So who are you a vision caster for? And who's a vision caster in your life? Do you know who they are? Who's a soul searcher in your life? Who's helping you become more like Jesus like that? And who are you doing that for? Like, who are the models or the mentors in your life, and who are you being a model and a mentor for in someone else's life? Who's your heart healer, and whose heart are you trying to heal? Who's on your tail kicker list, and whose tail are you kicking? Which, by the way, nobody in this room's got the spiritual gift of tail kicking. Because if that's what you think, you're wrong. You might be a good tail kicker, but you need to get stronger in these other areas. You might be a great vision caster, but you need to get stronger in these other areas. You might be a great soul searcher, but you need to get stronger in these other areas. You might have 3 soul searchers, but you got no one else. You need to get these other people in your life. Why? Because God wants you to succeed. And to succeed, you got to be full of hope. And how do you stay full of hope? You get the right people in your life.